And so we give you praise, we magnify your great name as we come again to exchange our weakness for your strength. And we ask, O God, that you be gracious unto us tonight. And let the river from your presence flow into every heart, effecting the much needed rejuvenation tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Cause our ears to hear, cause our eyes to see, and cause our hearts to understand, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I'd like to invite you for a session of Bible study. It will take 40 minutes. So I'd like you to give me your attention. Genesis chapter 28, beginning from verse number 10. Genesis 28, from verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Hallelujah. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other. We cannot mistake it. This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So the young man was running away from home because of the manipulation that he has done to become possessor of someone's birthright. And because God happens to be a just God, there was an agreement that he made with his elder brother about that birthright previously. His only challenge was that he did not allow God to actualize that agreement. He decided to take control over the outcome of events, and now he had to run from home. And he will think that there is a possibility of him thinking that the path he took on his journey from home was his idea. There were deep realities that were responsible for the location he alighted that night. Because he ran straight into the same environment where his grandfather had set up an altar unto God. And on the strength of his interaction with God, the mighty website was set up in that location. An angelic stronghold was established in that location. And there were not, he could not perceive this on the strength of his physical senses. In fact, he complicated his case when he decided to take one of the stones that was used to build the altar. His grandfather used, well, he took one of them and made it his pillow. He complicated the whole matter. And the moment he went to sleep and his physical senses were blotted out, his spiritual senses were activated to look upon the same location. Many times God will need to give you an insight into the location where he has sent you to accomplish his assignment in order for you to be adequately equipped to prosecute the counsel of God for the territory. His spiritual eyes were enlightened and he looked upon the same environment that he was sleeping on that night, only for him to discover a very robust infrastructure that was set up in the location. And for the Bible reveals that there was a ladder, and upon this ladder angels were ascending and descending. Angels were not descending and ascending. Angels were ascending and descending. It's needful for us to understand that the oscillatory motion, angelic oscillatory motion that took place from that location was inspired by the priesthood that was operating on earth. It was that priesthood that was responsible for angelic movements as they were moving from the earth into heaven and not from the heaven into the earth. When this guy saw all this, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is none other than the gate of heaven. Now, it will interest you to know that there was no building project in that location. No temple, no cathedral. And he named the place. He said, I cannot be mistaken on this matter. This is none other. But what? Oh, you're not with me. But what? The house of God. So what does he mean by the house of God? Because we'll go into the New Testament and then you'll begin to see what Apostle Paul says about the house of God. The church of the living God, the ground and the pillar of truth. So in the New Testament we have perspective that the concept house of God actually refers to the church of the living God. Not the church of demons, but the church of the living God, meaning that there is one that is alive that is trapped there. So if we are talking about the house of God, we are saying that, are you with me? We are saying that a technology was discovered that was able to trap the dimensions of God into the earth. Meanwhile, it will interest you to know that that was the concept, that was the idea of the temple when it was built. It was built to be able to trap the dimensions of the unseen realm. The temple was built to be able to capture human and angelic offices. It was built to be able to capture human offices and the offices of cherubims. It was built to be able to capture the office of God. And I need to explain what I mean by that. Once upon a time, I went to preach in a place in Nigeria called Zaria. It's in the northern part of Nigeria. And I met a young man that insisted that he needed counseling services. So I gave him an opportunity to bear his mind. And when he did, he told me that he had encountered a certain spirit while he was in the village. He was going to the stream to get water. And he saw that he was the only one at the stream in this moment of time. And he encountered the spirit. The spirit suspended and was talking to him from that point. and told him that he's been highly sought after because there is a wisdom that they want to give to him. And since he indicated interest in this wisdom, the Spirit gave him alligator pepper. Do you know alligator pepper? Oh, yeah. You know it more than I do. Ghanaians. In fact, I saw a pepper stick. Is it? It was all pepper. Pepper sauce. First time I saw it was in Ghana. All right, so you know alligator pepper. So he gave him 3 alligator pepper. And just in case, I know, Tiffany, you don't know alligator pepper, but it's the hottest pepper. It looks very negligible, but if you try it, you will. Hallelujah. So he gave him 3 pieces of this pepper. And when because the reason was that he was flat. The Spirit wanted him to come up higher. So the instrument by which he could migrate was pepper. So he gave him this pepper, and when he ate the alligator pepper, it became high. So the Spirit began to communicate with him and to give him wisdom on how he can construct a place in the natural that will mirror its own dimension. Do you get that? A construction in the natural that will mirror the dimension in which the Spirit operates in the invisible dimension. Once you can mirror that dimension, the Spirit can appear in that place, not knowing that it changed dimension, changed realm. Do you understand that? All right, so that's the technology that was used to build the temple. The idea of the temple is a shrine where God can be trapped, where angelic dimensions can be trapped, where divine dimensions can be trapped in a physical location. And if you wanted to encounter God, you go to a physical location and you touch God. You talk to God. Do you understand what we're talking about? This guy found a technology that trapped dimensions down into the earth, and he called it the house of God. So today we'll go higher. Now, I know you are confused, so I need to bring a scripture to support my matters. Okay, let's try Luke. Maybe Luke chapter 1 will lend itself to adequate understanding before we continue on the journey. Anybody there in Luke chapter 1? Okay, let's begin from verse 5. It's a long read, but I think it is worth it because it will give us the opportunity to understand the things that I'm talking about. Are you there? So the temple was built to capture the dimension of angels. It was built to capture the offices of men. The idea is that when you are ministering in the temple, you should be bumping into angels. You should be bumping into cherubims. And all of that is taking place in the building. If you go outside of the building, you are no longer in that privileged place. You get it? All right, so Luke chapter 1, verse 5. We have a journey tonight, and it's very technical, so I'd like to get your attention. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years, and it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah saw him. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him, and the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife was stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee this glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Okay. I have a question. And the question that I have is, where was Zechariah? Don't be quiet now. Don't be quiet. I can't hear what you say. I said, where was Zechariah? Okay, somebody say in the temple. Someone else says in the presence of God. So when Gabriel was compelled to introduce himself, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. So what is it about the presence of God that Gabriel knew? Or wasn't Zechariah in the presence of God? So what was the difference between the place Zechariah was and the place Gabriel was? I need answers. I need answers for this matter. Because it was obvious. Are you there? Okay, let me give you an insight. Let me give you an insight, but I will not help you again. If next time, if you don't understand, we close the chapter. We'll just leave it. Zechariah was in the part of the presence of God where prayer was manufactured. Gabriel was operating from the part of the presence of God where prayers are answered. So when Gabriel speaks about the presence of God, he was speaking about a different experience, a different realm. Are you still with me? But these two realms co-located in a building. So it was built to capture realms so that there will be co-locations. By the time you go into the Holy of Holies, there is a co-location that can bring God into focus. Cherubims into focus. All of this is happening in one building. This technology that was used to build the temple was a discovery that Jacob made when there was no physical building. There were dimensions of God that were trapped in a location, and he identified the location to be what? And you know there was no physical building. I'm trying to define the local church. If you don't have the background, you will not know. You will think, let's take it easy and touch it and move it gradually. Then you will understand what I have a body, but I need to take you through the protocol of scriptures in order for you to see clearly what the Lord has burdened me with. Are you there? Okay, so you got that point now. Let's make some moves. Let's take some examples. And then when we make the most, before we go into the New Testament, there is no way you can understand this concept just from the New Testament. We need to lay foundation. Let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 33. Are you there?
So there were two things that Jacob saw in the location, that Jacob identified in the location. The first thing he identified in the physical location was that this is the house of God. That's the first thing. Second thing he identified in the location is this is the gate of heaven. Now, for the purpose of my lecture this evening, we will not be talking about the gate of heaven. We'll just limit ourselves to the house of God because of the topic that we are dealing with. If you understand the concept of the house of God well, then you can study the other aspect and understand it. So, but that's not my emphasis, so we'll stay with the house of God. Can we do Deuteronomy chapter 33? So that I can explain further to us. Deuteronomy 33. Because of time, we'll break our reading, and our reading will begin from verse 4. We're supposed to begin from verse 1, but you can. Let's start from verse 4 because of time. Well, let's do the right thing. And this is the blessing. So this is what we have here is a spiritual ceremony of blessing. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Okay? And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So everything that we read about in this scripture is a package that is designed to lead to the release, the transfer of blessings. It happens to be that the spiritual commodity that forms the substance of the blessing that is in the house of Israel is transmitted from one generation to another generation by reason of patriarchal authority. So prior to this time, blessings were transmitted by patriarchal authority. Are you there? But there is a shift in the equation that I'd like to bring to your notice in this particular scripture. Because at this time, the patriarchs were no longer around. So there was a system through which these blessings could be transmitted from one generation to another. And this is the first time that the blessings are going to be transmitted in the absence of the patriarchs. Are you there? All right, so. Verse 2. And he said, the Lord came. This is before the blessing, he began to give them a lecture, a historical perspective that supports the activity that he was about to carry out that day. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir, Mount Seir, unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran and came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. I will not explain that scripture. The reason why I will not explain it is because this is the first Old Testament scripture that gives us insight into the realities of the millennial reign. But we'll just leave that. It doesn't have any direct bearing on our emphasis. So, let's leave it. Next verse. Yea, he loved his people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet, everyone to receive thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. He was king in Jeshurun. Now, I need to explain this because you are witnesses of the fact that in Scripture, when patriarchal blessings, when blessings are to be transmitted, the substance of spiritual commitment, the spiritual capital that was responsible for the protection, for the survival of the house of Israel, for provision to the house of Israel, that substance is transmitted through patriarchal authority. Now the patriarchs are no longer available, and God had to devise a system by which those blessings could still be transmitted What he did was that he made available what we call a kingly anointing. And it's interesting to know that the first partaker of the kingly anointing in Israel was Moses. Moses was the first king of Israel. So the Bible says, okay, meanwhile. It is worthy of note for us to understand that the terminology Jeshurun is a nickname for Israel. And the Bible is saying he was king in Israel. He was the first one to touch the kingly anointing that was designed to exercise powers in keeping with the policy directions for the nation of Israel as revealed by God. Are you there? Now stay with me. That's why I said it's very technical. Stay with me. Stay. I'm seeing some of you, your mind is wandering to the market. The market has closed. Stay here now. Jesus is reigning now. Hallelujah. Now, listen. So we have seen that he was king in Jeshurun, but he was not king every time. He did not carry the kingly anointing every moment. There was something that needed to happen in order for the kingly anointing to appear, and then he begins to operate in it. And that which needs to happen in order for the kingly anointing to appear is that he was king in Jeshurun when. What is the meaning of when? When is an adjective of time. It is only when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. That's the only time that the kingly anointing over Israel appears and Moses begins to operate like a king. Are you there? Do you see that? You are not following. Do you realize that even though God had made a location for the kingly anointing, there is a context in which the kingly anointing will appear. That, and the context is that all the heads of the tribes will gather together. This is the idea of a congregation. And when that congregation gathers together, there are dimensions of God that will begin to appear. Are you following? First of all, Jacob was able to discover that there was something about priesthood that his grandfather did that trapped the dimensions of God on earth. And he labeled it and called it the house of God, because God was trapped in that. In that place, he was able to interact with God. He was able to stumble on the mind of God. He was able to receive promises from God. And that was the basis of his security. When he woke up out of the experience, he said, "Hey, this is the house of God." You get it? Now we are seeing Moses. Moses was the first one that was approved by God to enter into the economy of kingly anointing that was released over the house. But that anointing will never appear until the heads of the tribes of the people gather together. The moment they gather together, that anointing becomes tangible and it comes upon Moses. And Moses begins to issue decrees like a king. Are you there? So the substance or the reality unto which we are gathered is expected to appear if we gather. It's on the strength of that that the Bible reveals that even though there's an anointing on your life, even though you can pray 10 hours in your bedroom, he said, do not neglect the gathering of yourself together. Because there are things that appear when there's gathering. Let us see. I hope you have not forgotten the context. This is a blessing service that Moses is organizing before his death. Are you still in the picture? Okay. So, but all of these arrangements will need to be in place. The elders will need to gather, and all those other ceremonies will need to take place, and then the anointing will now appear. And then when the anointing appeared. Let us see how he exercised it in verse 6. The first thing he did was to say, let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. This is the same Reuben, are you there? That his father had laid a curse on because the guy touched one of his concubines. That, I don't want to go into this matter. There was a curse on that guy. The guy touched a strange thing. And the father said, you are the beginning of my strength. You are the one that brought evidence that I'm not impotent. You are the proof that I'm still okay. When you showed up, all the neighbors that were gossiping, whispering around about the possibility of impotence, when you showed up, that argument could no longer hold water. He called him the beginning of his strength. He called him the excellency of wisdom and knowledge. Are you still there? For those of us that were in the educational system, you know, there are some alphabets that are used to grade performance. F. What is F? Okay. Let me not start from F because it will generate emotions. So let's begin from C. What's the bracket for C? Huh? No, not. Don't tell me what C means. What's the bracket? It's from where to where? Then we now have B. Before we now have A. So A is from where? A is from 70 to 100. So that, I don't know. Maybe. That's what is called excellent. So this guy, by destiny, Reuben was supposed to be an A personality. Fully funded, fully galvanized. But the father says, you are unstable as water, you shall not excel. And his fortunes were shaped by that utterance. I would like you to understand that what is taking place in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33 is not a prophetic service. It's not prophetic in the sense that we got a revelation from God, so we are declaring what we know. What is happening here is a king sitting in his office and is using his words to shape destiny. The first thing he says is that he reverses the curse that one of the patriarchs placed on a tribe. Let Reuben live. Can you see the audacity? That means that if this utterance was effective, it means the authority he was operating in was higher than that patriarch. So today, I want to say to you, just in case there's a curse in your family running from generation to generation, I say, leave in the name of Jesus. Leave. Let Reuben live. Allow Reuben to live. I know you are hunting Reuben. You are looking for him. You are trying to cut, but let him live. That declaration was not an attempt to negotiate. It was a decree. It was already sealed. Nobody's opinion is sought. What is it? Let Reuben live. Now, this authority that this man is operating in is coming from an allocation that can only be realized when the heads of the tribes are gathered. Did you see that? Now, and I need to tell you something quickly, because yesterday we were talking about a building and dimensions. Did you follow the lecture yesterday? There are also other aspects that I could not add.
even though they are in my script. But if you have understood the aspects that we spoke about, you have a very good understanding and you can advance into further studies from that point. I need to take you to another scripture quickly. Because in view of the fact that Jesus is the one that is building his church, and I showed you what happens when Jesus is a civil engineer, he gives you the dimensions, he gives you the specifications, he gives you the quote for the strength of material, he gives you the perspective on the depth of the foundation. There is a prescription for every aspect of the construction. And the reason why God, when he builds, is so particular about faithfulness to the dimensions of his prescription. Are you there? It's because of one factor. If you don't build, if you refuse to build according to the prescription that God has given, it will be impossible for God to fill what you built. But in the realm of the spirit, there is no wrong. I will explain what I mean. It is right and right. So if you build according to God's specification, it is right. God will be able to fill it. If you compromise the specification, God cannot fill it, but something else. If that new one you generated is compatible with something else in the realm, and that thing is what will fill it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 1-11. 1 Kings, chapter 8. Verse 1-11. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem. Now, do you see a pattern here? The kind of people that they invited. The reason for the invitation of this kind of people is because there is a spiritual thing they want to track. And if all these guys are not there, that spiritual thing will not appear. If this spiritual thing does not appear, when we go to war, we are not setting a victory. This spiritual thing will have to appear first. We need to trap it down. How many of you have read that scripture that says that God dwells in the praises of his people? Our praises create a throne so he can come and sit down. And the tangibility of his appearance will be felt by every individual. You know, when Geoff last Sunday was ministering, and I don't know, I don't even remember any song he sang, but the point is that while he was ministering, I couldn't stop myself from praying. Because what he was ministering was the spirit of prayer. He was doing something like singing. But I don't remember what he sang. But I know what he was transmitting. There was a tangibility of a certain spiritual substance that was trapped in that moment. That substance had authority to operate in our midst. Do you understand that? And the powers of that substance, depending on the extent of our yieldedness, the powers of that substance can bring about physical changes. And no matter how you try at home to generate the same environment, you will be at loss because there is a structure that has the capacity to track those dimensions. Are you still following? Alright. That there might... Hey, where is that sound coming from? Okay, you give me another sound from here so that we can destroy that sound. But that sound is affecting our... What we are constructing now, there is affecting it. Seriously.
Erase your own so that we can block that one out.
You know what? What I'm doing is a theoretical aspect. When I'm done with the theoretical aspect, we'll go to the practical aspect. If you don't, if you didn't get it while I was doing theory, you will get it. You will get it. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Etaim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. Then the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above, and they drew out the staves, that the end of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without, and they are unto this day. Can we jump? Let's jump to 10. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. See, the glory of the Lord now fills a physical building. Meanwhile, the glory of the Lord was trapped into a place that there was no building. Now they have discovered further technology, an enhancement technology of how to trap that glory in the building. And the proof that the building was according to pattern was that when they built according to the specification that God prescribed, what happened? The glory of the Lord. It was the dimension of God that was captured. Now, so if you're building, if what you are building does not capture, it's not according to the specifications, it will trap something else. It will trap something else. And that something else is not going to be God. But the thing will be masquerading as God. That is how the synagogue of Satan is born. That thing will come with its own preferences. It will come with its own requirements. You will not know. It will take time, as it makes demands. It expresses its desire. Because if you are playing host to a spirit and you are in league with the spirit will soon begin to make demands. Just like God is demanding consecration, is demanding that we be aligned with Him, is demanding. You will feel it. If you start slacking in prayer, He will start feeling offended. And if you know the living God, the way it feels on the inside, you will know that, okay, He's no longer happy with me because I'm too far away. He must demand. If the spirit is involved, be sure of the fact that He will place demands upon you.
So the proof that they built according to specification was that when the ark was placed on the oracle, the glory of God, all the things they did were things. But now, the proof that the physical things that they put in place was in line with prescription is that God was pleased to descend into it. And when God descended into it, the priest thought that they were going to preach that evening. They had prepared their lecture notes, they had prepared their homiletics, their deliverables, but the glory became too intense that the priest could no longer minister. If we are able to track this dimension, it has the capacity to blot out the human office. You know, the temple captures human offices and offices in various dimensions, angelic, cherubim, offices in various dimensions. But if this glory is captured, it can be so intense that it covers even the space where human beings should stand ministering. And the Bible says that the priests could no longer minister. So Solomon began to pray. Prayer is long. But I want to bring something out. Very long prayer that I want you to go and read. Are you there? Prayers. Began to offer prayers. That was the prayer of a nation. Began to offer prayers. Began to offer prayers. And then God, who was invisible, became visible. He appeared like fire. Physical fire that the human eyes saw. That's what we call the realm of glory. Where the things that are hidden in the supernatural realm, because of the systems that we have put in place, that mirrors the dimensions of God and our willingness to receive from God. God is at liberty to step out of his own dimension and to be visible to the human eye. Do you think that sickness can stand that fire? There was a physical fire. You think sickness can stand? Death can stand? God was trapped and he began to enlarge himself in the congregation. You cannot have that experience and backslide. You say you are struggling with masturbation. That fire will lick up that lust. Not because you are even praying for it, because you are not likely to be on your feet if that fire appears here. A physical fire. He came into that temple. Tell me how those people will go into battle and come back defeated. He answered by fire. So we are going to go into the New Testament now. It was Jesus that gave us an idea of the application of what we have been studying from New Testament perspective. And I want to take us to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Just stay with me as we build. I want this matter to get home. I want it to get home. That part of what we are called to do is that God wants to use our lives to show principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. And I've been studying my Bible and praying and asking God, okay, how are we going to achieve this dimension? he gave me some insight. You will now understand what it means when Moses, in his intercession, was asking God to accompany Israel. And God now said, all right, I'll send you an angel. And the guy did not accept the accompaniment of an angel. He said, you know what, if you are not going, in fact, is the journey so important? We can abandon that journey. Where are we even going? And God now said, okay, my presence. If you have ever seen that kind of fire, you will despise the countenance of an angel. They trapped the presence of God down. God was their captive. And he enlarged himself. He enlarged himself. He enlarged himself like a flame in their midst. That's how church is supposed to be. A place where that which is invisible can become visible and enlarge it. Enlarge it. So Jesus gave us some insights in the book of Matthew chapter 18. If you would turn your Bible, Matthew 18. From verse 18 to 20. Verily, this is Jesus. Jesus is revealing spiritual possibilities that are obtainable by acts of faith. He said, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall bind, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the first possibility that Jesus unveils. Meanwhile, the interpretation of this scripture, because of the use of English, is a bit defective, because people think that what he meant is binding demons and all of that. No. It's more contractile than that kind of warfare activity. It's just like, for instance, I am an expert in a certain aspect of the petroleum industry technicalities. I am an expert because I was there for 16 years. So, in a certain aspect of petroleum industry technicalities, I'm an expert. Now, if you have money, maybe you have some millions of US dollars, and you are willing to bring your millions of US dollars, I am an expert. And we can come to the nation of Ghana and present a proposal. If the president approves our proposal for us to do business here, we need to write an agreement concerning the proceeds that will come out of the business. Maybe because you brought in the money, you have 60%, and because I bring in the technical know-how, I have 40%. The moment we sign this document, I am bound by the document. You are also bound by the document. That's what that scripture is saying. This scripture is referring to binding contracts. So when, as the ecclesia, as this congregation, if something is going on in Ghana and we decide to, as a congregation in agreement, we say we refuse this, heaven will also sign and it will become law. That's what he's saying. So this is our operation as a parliament. Because you will notice it's beyond one person. Say, ye, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. So that's the operation of the parliament. Legislative capacities of the people of God. So if we satisfy the requirements of these legislative possibilities, we can actually refuse things and heaven will countersign and it will become so. And when somebody tries to do, to undo what we have done, the power of heaven will strike it. So this is one of the powers that we have. Okay, next verse. Verse 19. And again, this is another power. I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Are you there? Notice in this particular possibility, spiritual possibility, there is a quorum. There is a quorum requirement. You must be at least two to be able to achieve the requirement of this possibility. Is that right? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, we agree. That's the law of agreement. The power that is generated when two individuals come into agreement in the spirit. Have you read the scripture that says that one shall chase 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight? Have you read that scripture? That was the scripture that Saul did not know. Because Saul's capacity was 1,000. David's capacity was 1,000. But when they came back from war, the women say Saul has killed his 1,000 and David has killed his 10,000. Saul did not know that it was the 1,000 of David that was interacting with his own 1,000 that produced the 10,000 productivity level. And because of this lack of understanding, he went after David. He went after the person that was adding up to produce that exponential possibility. The reason is because Saul doesn't understand the power of two. Doesn't understand. So you will now notice in the New Testament that Jesus now begins to send apostles two by two. And have you heard the scripture in the book of Proverbs that said two is better than one because they will have a good reward for their labor? It's still in keeping with that context that marriage is a strategy from God. It's still that context. So that you and your wife form the basic quorum. The basic quorum for asking. And when there's challenge between you and your wife, the Bible reveals that your prayers will be hindered. There is a potential capacity that you have in God that is going to be hindered because of that challenge. So if the devil wants to steal from you as a family, he affects your relationship with your wife. Because when you are in disagreement, you cannot find that place of alignment in order for you to exercise that potential. Are you still with me? Even though there were two spiritual possibilities that Jesus unveiled, he only explained one. He only explained number two. He didn't explain number one. So in verse 20, Jesus now explains the engineering behind the possibility in number two. Do you get it? All right, so verse 20. This is his explanation for why number two is possible. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. So those two people can trap my dimension. This is the description of the local church that Jesus is beginning to set a premise, set perspective about. That the moment we go beyond individuals and we unite in two or three, to form a basic quorum. If you know what you are doing, you can trap me. That is a system that can trap me. And when I'm trapped, the impact of the influence you can generate will hit heaven. That's how heaven can be involved. Because I am trapped in the middle of that arrangement. So the idea of the local church is a system that is put in place to trap down the dimensions of God, so that our corporate ability is beyond human ability. Our corporate might is beyond human might. Our corporate strength is beyond human strength. And the things in that environment, we have the capacity to corporately move the hand of God. That is the power of the local church. So this is the system that I want to build in the earth. Are you there? I still need to take you on a journey so that you understand the influence of one single believer. You know, the Bible says that God is spirit, and that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. I know you know that. The question is, why did God decide to be spirit? Because the physical realm, where we are, is not designed for spirit. Why did God decide to be spirit? Why? Because that's a limitation. It's a limitation because he is spirit, he doesn't have the legitimacy by reason of his own royal decree. He doesn't have a legitimacy to operate here without permission. So why did he put that bottleneck on himself? And he wants his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Are you following my thinking? The reason why God decided to limit himself to the spirit realm is because of man. Because he created man. Your spirit was designed to be his accommodation. So that if God wants to interfere with human affairs, what he will do is he wears your spirit. Then you are the one that carries him around. So just like if a man wants a child, he will need to marry a woman. There's no other way. You can't go to the river and say, then a child will fall. No, nothing will happen to you. You'll go back home. But if you get serious about having a baby, you will need to marry a woman. It is through that agreement that a baby can come out. If God wants to do anything in the earth, just like a man cannot have a baby without a woman, God cannot do anything here without a man. That is the reason why man is the only creature that God created that has legitimacy to operate in the two realms. Only creature. No other creature. Not even God himself. Man has legitimacy, he has a right to operate in the natural realm because he has a body of earth that gives him legitimacy in the three-dimensional world. He also has a spirit in him. And the spirit that is in him gives him legitimacy to operate in the unseen realm. So when you hear God say, where the scriptures say, God is spirit, and then that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's saying that it's only your spirit that can contact him. Because your spirit is operating on that frequency. Especially if your spirit being is infused by the Holy Ghost because of your regeneration. You can travel in his network. You can travel in his realm. And as astronauts explore space, you can explore God. Exactly. So he wears you. You become the organism that carries him around. And there are powers that are available to you just because he dwells inside of you. You can sense things going on in his realm through his spirit. You can understand his mind through his spirit. You can peep into his ancient archive through his spirit. Because the Bible says that no man understands the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him. It means that your things, you don't even know your things. The things of man are calibrated on his spirit. It will take the Holy Ghost to unpack your things. The things of God knoweth no man, the Bible says, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit which is not of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we have access to the things of God because we are infused with the Spirit of God. And it happens to be that the things of God are calibrated on the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God that we are in league with. That means we can access the things of God. And that's why the Bible says that the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. It's now accessible. Oh my God. That means I can function. I'm still telling you about a believer. Not when we join our forces together. I can function in such a way that I can explore God's depths, God's secrets. If you take full advantage of what you are in Christ Jesus, there is no economic situation that bedevils your nation that will catch you as a victim. If God cannot be trapped in it, then you cannot be trapped in it because you have access to God. You see? Once upon a time, the Lord came to me and said, I should resign my job. I had a good job. I was okay. I was really okay. And the time it came for me to resign was 2 weeks to the exam that will upgrade me to become a management staff. Who does that? So, okay, how am I going to feed? Well, his hand was too strong, so I obeyed him. Now that I've obeyed him, it is at his expense that I resign. So, it means that he must have a plan. Are you following? Oh, you are not following. You are not following me. You are not following me. So I went to him and said, okay, how are we going to do this thing? You know what he told me? He said, teach the Bible. Teach. Teach it. When you teach this Bible, everything you need will come through what? Teach. That was the wisdom God gave me. So even if I'm in the hospital and I'm on drip, they will bring a camera there and I will open Psalms 4. Yes, so the answer to all of my insecurities, what was it? Teach. You can take advantage. There is wisdom. Oh my God. This, I don't. What you are looking for is not lost. The things of God are calibrated on the Holy Ghost. He's a gateway into the depths of God. I can find and discover things that were kept secret before Satan was created. And I can operate on that level. And I will be 10 steps ahead of the devil every time. Every time. Just because there is a dimension of God that is trapped in my heart, that is why I have these powers. I've not come to congregation yet, the congressional level. There's a dimension of God. That presence of God that appeared like fire, it has escaped from that temple. The temple could no longer hold it. It is now inside of me. I must personalize the full import of what I carry. What I carry is more ancient than Ghana. What I carry is more ancient than Africa. So there's nothing in Africa that should be able to destroy me if I take advantage of what I carry. The other day there was an intelligence and the The intelligence was about a certain danger that was in the environment, and the prescription was that we should run away from the place. When I checked the radar, I didn't feel any danger. So I told them, well, I appreciate your effort to ensure that we are in safety, but there is no danger from the radar. So we did not go anywhere. And at the end of the day, the intelligence was false. What do you look at? Do you look at the weather or the radar? What do you look at? What do you look at? When I was a young guy, I was already a very vocal, very, very vocal, radical preacher. Yo, I will afflict you with the word of God. I will afflict you. So I was known. I was widely known. Until when it was time for me to get married. I had a lot of proposals from so many ladies. Yes. I had proposals from different quarters. Because the proposals were too many, I locked my heart on it. Because if you want to swim there, you will embrace confusion. And God is not the author. So I allowed all those voices to die. And when my soul became quiet, I began a fast for 200 and something days. And I was asking God, where are you? I'm not going back home if you don't show up. So, on the 264th day, I was not instructed, I was not informed that if Jesus wants to appear somewhere, he will send his angels first. So I had encounters with two majestic angels. Then I stopped my fasting. I did not know that was just preparatory to what I was asking for. I was satisfied with the angelic dimension. In fact, when I had this encounter with these angels, my ministry shifted. So I felt that was what it was. It took an additional 7 years before Jesus eventually came. Because I was not told that the presence of angels is different from the presence of Jesus. The glory that the angels brought, I thought, oh my Jesus, may your hunger be deep. It took 7 years after that time for Jesus to show. He came to me for 9 seconds. And he said that I should preach to the youth of Nigeria. And from the time he gave me that instruction, I went from campus to campus for 12 years. 12 years. After 12 years, it was on the 19th of August 2019 that he came back. So I've encountered close range encounters with Jesus. I've had 5 of those. So I know what it means to encounter the glory of God as an individual. The presence of God that came into my room in Dubai was there for 3 days. That's the individual level. Something happens when two people that have that spirit, when they agree. And what we mean by agreement is that you people have kept aside your agenda, your prayer point, the things you want to achieve. And now you just want to be vessels that can carry his own prayer point, that can carry his own agenda, that can carry his own will, that can carry his preferences.
then he begins to unlock what troubles him. He begins to unlock it. You see, for each layer he unlocks, it is like a weight. It's just like you are to carry 12 bags of cement and they drop the first one. That's when you will check the alignment of your spinal cord. For every weight that he discloses to you, there is a presence that accompanies it. Because you are in custody of that body that is in his heart, and you are willing to let go the preferences you have for your own life to begin to pursue that thing, that presence remains. And then you are faithful, he increases your capacity. I mean, congregation, this is not individual anymore. You guys are faithful in prosecuting that. He will increase your capacity in terms of spiritual strength, and then he will release another book. That's how he keeps it. And the more he is at home to release those things, the more his presence will begin to appear. Presence will begin to. The first thing his presence will deal with is what you are looking for now. You want money, you want prosperity. You will be taken out of poverty just because you are playing host. Anywhere the Spirit of God is trapped, the first one of the evidences is that there's prosperity. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If that scripture means anything, it means that one of the evidences of our alignment is prosperity. So let me tell you our story as RCM. You see this man, Chief Donatus. Men like them don't exist again this time. We were young men, and I was posted into the city where they were, and we began a prayer. And we said the reason why we are coming for this prayer is not because we have needs. Yeah, we have needs, but we don't want to pursue our needs. Do you have needs? Oh God. We want to share in alleviating your pain. That was a prayer. We prayed like that with fasting for how many years? He didn't respond. Because it will test you. It will find out if what you are saying, you are parroting it, or you mean it. So one of the ways he proves it is that he allows time to pass. And then the devil will be released to come and whisper to all of you that you are all wasting your life. Not your time, but your life. Every other day we were in the place of prayer. Ego sala kuria. That's, well, before you get discouraged, he will give you a dream and show you a light that is shining on Africa. A light. So you want to invade Africa? We'll begin to pray. Lord, shine the light. And all the scriptures that have to do with light, we'll package it and begin to use it as For 14 years. 14 years. Yes. 14 years. The last person that opened the spiritual atmosphere of my city. Are you still following me? It's late now. I went to his son. I asked him, how long did it take? And what was the spiritual exercise that your dad was involved in?
He said, okay, he prays like this, prays this time, he does. And it took 7 years. I doubled it. I said, if this is, I doubled it. So that was the roadmap. I was expecting that in 7 years. But I was wrong. Because God cannot be calculated by a formula. God must be sought out. So if you don't have the heart of pilgrimage to wander into his island until he decides to show up, as desperate as you are for him, you cannot see him, you cannot know him until he's willing to reveal himself. I realize that he, just in case you know him, it's not because you searched for him. It's because he decided to show up. That was when I saw the kingdom that was regulated by a king. You can pray and cry. Your tears don't move him. In fact, until they dry up, he will not come. He will come when he wants to come. That was when I discovered how to wait upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord is an act of faith. Because his government influences the timing of his response. His government influences the style of his response. Maybe you are expecting God to show up in a certain way. You are wrong. You don't do that when you are dealing with a king. Oh, he will touch your pride and puncture it like a balloon. Yes, if you are not willing to allow the flesh to wither, to be paralyzed, you will not survive. He will show up, and what he wants to do now will bring shame on all of you. Shame is part of it. He will bring shame on everybody. You know why? He wants to weaken your flesh. If you are still afraid of shame, then you don't have depth enough to trap the things that are of him. Lack, you'll be tested with lack. All kinds. Brutal lack. Naked lack. You know that kind of lack that is not covered? It's not wearing clothes. It's naked. Mugabaye tokoske mina. Esimantoya. Esima kavela ikombela. Are you there? We went through that. You know, when everybody is discouraged, we don't say it, but so that you'll not be the one to discourage everybody. But that discouragement was in everybody's heart, but we couldn't. We were tested. We were tried. Then, after 14 years, he began to release dimensions. There are times in our midst when we hold meetings like this, the hand of God will come down. And for 3 hours, people are prophesying. In fact, we wanted to end the service, so we gathered all the people prophesying, brought them to my office. I was there for another 2 hours. He was speaking. He was speaking. And we used to have a scribe those days that used to record. The things that we gathered that those people spoke were impossible. We didn't have the faith to believe it. Meanwhile, we were the ones praying, but there was no faith. When he started speaking, because the city that we are in Nigeria, is not a notable city, it's a poor city. So it is difficult for you to see that God could use people from that part of the world to influence his body. Are you there? We saw the impossible. We saw the unthinkable. Then our understanding became enlightened. That is the prototype of what he wants the entire church on the face of the earth to be. A people that are lost in search of what is on his heart. They operate under his authority, because the Bible says two or three must be gathered in my name. under the authority that my name carries. That's how they operate. It's not an agenda that is apart from what I'm doing, but an agenda that is designed to capture and implement what I am doing. Are you here tonight? His glory began to increase. As his glory began to increase, I began to see that he started anointing people in the congregation. You could tell that this one is a prophet. You could tell it's real. You could tell that this is an evangelist. People started becoming. I believe. The witches in the place gave us room. They are mad. They are mad people. Witches were no longer the problem. Because his hand came down. And we have tasted of a measure of his glory. But what we have tasted is nothing compared to what he showed me. So we are laboring to climb. I'm looking for that day. Because I've seen in my dreams where we trapped the dimensions of God and it became physical, became visible. I've seen it. Where you touch the glory of God and people will begin to see gold in their hands. It is a dimension of the eternal realm that is breaking into the natural. Things that cannot be explained. Are you still with me? Okay. Right now we'll do practical for 20 minutes. Let the little one that we normally see, let it come. But I believe that in our lifetime, we'll see such glory that even the cameras can capture. When you seek such glory, you will purify yourself. You cannot do anything that will displease God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So practice for 20 minutes. So anywhere you are, you will just speak in tongues for maybe 10 minutes so that we can find the direction. Then we'll begin to travel as a congregation. We'll start traveling. Alright? Now, forget about your neighbor. Forget about the person you came with. If your sitting position is okay, if you are comfortable, you can sit. If you believe you need to stand, just take your posture, but ensure that you are not distracted.
Obra matata voce silia, apremo tante di cobonde hele catava, sabra fate guse mia, risco foto bondolore. A te asico presco fa la bonciale, raiso sacchito bronde, che ne bocori a braschito vantelia. Forget about your neighbor. It is him that we want. It is him that we want. Forget about the preacher. See Opokoria Papabiso Santeni. Isai Compano Secopris, Amando Ketiala Brascantele, Rocopiso Santeni. Gain ascendancy in the spirit. Gemini compes kito pre Stay focused in the spirit. When you are here,
Yeah.
Still in the lecture. Now, all those people were ministered to without the aid of a preacher. I even saw in my vision someone that was healed while we were doing that. Are you still with me? So if you are here and you are looking for the fruit of the womb, come here. Is it possible for you to shift back so that I can walk back? It's okay, it's okay. All right, so let's do it this way. We don't need two lines, okay? Now, I just touch you just a bit. If the Lord has answered the prayer for the fruit of the womb, He will prove it by. Now, if you are just coming, why are you just coming? What happened? Oh, from upstairs. I'll just touch you just a little on your head.
Jesus were in worship when the Lord said he wants to open someone's womb. So the proof that God is opening wombs is that the oil will drop on five people. It will come on five people. If that's what God is doing, then the oil will descend on five people. It will descend on five people. It will be strong on five people. Is it five already? I see you just came. Father, ushers, if it's up to five, you let me know. Is it up to five? So, he's opening wombs now. He's opening wombs now. He's opening it now. He's opening it now. He's opening it now. Yeah, he's opening it. 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 For those of you that are standing on behalf of someone, anywhere that person is right now, the hand of the Lord will descend upon them. Oh, he's opening wombs. He's opening it. He's opening it. He's opening your womb. He's opening it. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Yeah, so your prayers have been answered. Go back. This is when July, okay? When we come back next year, in the month of July, we'll give an allowance for you to bring the children. Go. Second thing I saw is that the Lord wants to heal eyes. So if you use reading glasses, you are myopic. Remove the glasses. There are seven people in the auditorium. Seven people in the auditorium. God will, because there's an anointing on me now. This anointing that is on me now is the healing anointing. Alright, so seven of you will receive it. Seven of you. Upstairs and downstairs. There is a lady that is going to operate so seriously in the healing grace, and the hand of God is upon that lady. I'm seeing the angel of the presence of God. This angel carries the presence of God from place to place. And the reason why the angel is here is because there is a messenger of the presence of God in our midst. He will clothe you with his presence in the next 7 seconds. In the next 7 seconds. So it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Now listen to me. Listen. If you can. Listen. What I see is that there is someone in this congregation that is programmed to die. Death has been released over your life. Part of my calling is to intercept death. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that death has been released to intercept, Lord, let your hand of anointing descend upon that person so that the spirit of death can be cut off from that land.
So the Lord will search. He will search. He will search. And that vessel that is about to experience the bitter hands of death will be rescued in the next 17 seconds. 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 Holy Spirit, from my left hand side to my right hand side to the balcony, I ask, oh God, isolate that individual. Isolate that individual.
Now, also, do me a favor. Bring that individual to me. I need to do some deliverance here. Bring that individual. I need to cut.
Yes, I need to.
Can you help me? Can you help me?
Siye na na buro sine. Aine momore so sani.
Can you? Can I just touch his forehead? Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Can you just to touch the forehead? Lose her. Lose her. Lose him.
Will be cut up with the flames that this angel is carrying. In the next 17 seconds, the next 17 seconds, you will experience fire. You will experience fire. You will experience fire. You will experience fire. And a small one will become a strong nation. Although thy beginning be small, thy later end shall greatly increase. Who is he that speaketh and he cometh to pass, when the Lord has not spoken?
Tonight, you will not wear spectacles again throughout your lifetime. And so we give you glory, we give you praise. And we ask that you stretch forth your hand. I bind blinding spirits. Blinding spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus and come out of their eyes right now. I rebuke glaucoma, cataracts, myopia, astigmatism, hypermetropia. I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. So I speak to your eyes. Eyes, be healed. Eyes, be healed. Eyes, be healed in the name of Jesus. Remove your hands. And you have 5 minutes to conduct a test on the eyes. When you notice that you can see, so I'll give you 5 minutes to test. Ayako seminalu rehasia latoske. Can we pray a prayer as a congregation? Lord, fill me, fill my heart with that which burdens you, that which troubles you. I want to be your man. I want to be your messenger. I want to be someone that you can count on to get your will done. Fill my heart with that which troubles you. Can someone pray that prayer of devotion to God? I want to be your man. I want to be your messenger. I want to carry your sound. To carry your sound from place to place. If you're looking for a man, looking for a woman, in our generation, look no further. I submit myself. Here I am. The delight of Bethel. Presto per la mondo sia prascatoria mamana. No matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, I am willing to stand my ground and to serve your will in this dark time. So help me, God. That's why we came, that we might be carriers of the fire that will extinguish the power of witchcraft in the land. That's why we came. That we might be the functionaries that will turn the tide against the kingdom of darkness. That the frontiers of the kingdom of God might be extended in the nation and beyond the nation. Cause my heart to perceive your pain, your desires. That's the reason for which I live. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, those of you that noticed that there is a change in your sight, can you wave to me? You notice that there is a change in your sight? Yes, so I have one there. Yeah, come on. Yeah, can you wait? There's a change in your sight. There's a
change in your sight. Right, so, yeah, okay. Come. We'll take your case. We are still lecturing. It's still part of the lecture. I want to be troubled with what troubles you. That's what it means to stand in the gap. I want to be that man that will rise from obscurity to be a witness of your resurrection. Yambo Ebresco Filama Itele. There's a lady with orange there. Orange. Yeah, come. If you are willing, all right? They will clothe you with so much of glory. And everything around you that is dead will come back to life. If you are willing. They will fill you from the crown of his head, flames of glory. That you can come into, and the devil, the demon that has bewildered your family for so many generations, will lose its hold over the house. You will become the Lord's messenger. Oh my God. That greatness that has been locked up in that family, that demons are slaving to ensure that it never sees the light of day. Oh my God. The skills are changing. God is bringing a renovation into the realm. A renovation. Yes, so what happened to this place?
She has been long-sighted for 21 years.
Long-sighted?
For 21 years.
21 years.
But after the prayer, she has been healed.
You know, sometimes these glasses look so beautiful, the people don't want to part with them. 21 years.
Since 2002, when I went to secondary school.
You've been wearing stuff like this?
Yes, sir. So I've been changing it on and on.
Did you test the eyes to see that?
Yes. If I bulge it, I see clearly.
Somebody needs to celebrate Jesus right now. Yeah, she's healed. Forever healed. Forever restored. Jesus. Yes?
This is a digital testimony.
Digital testimony.
My sister has been blind for 3 years.
His sister has been blind for 3 years. Where is your sister?
She's in the house.
In Accra?
Yes, in Accra here.
So you called her?
Yes,
while we
in
were
the course of the prayer.
Praying.
And it's not actually blindness. In the year 2017, she was diagnosed with certain cancer that had eaten to her bones, causing her eyes to actually bulge out. So I think last year, she was diagnosed that she's totally blind and her sight actually went off. So recently, I mean, she has been praying, and we've also been praying with her, and she started seeing 2D. But when I called her right now, she said it's now clearer as compared to the previous one.
Now we want to rebuke that cancer as a congregation. Anywhere the cancer is, in the bones, in the blood. Can we come against it as a congregation? We are so powerful when the presence of God comes into our midst. We are so powerful. We rebuke the demon of cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer, go from that lady. Go from her. And never come back again. In the name of Jesus. Now, listen. This, yeah. So, Lord, we use him as a point of contact to reach his sister. And we cast out the demon of cancer. We say to you, O damsel, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. So go. Now listen, there's one of you sitting, standing on this line, and I see heaven open. And a ray of light descending upon that individual. There is a calling upon your life, and God wants to activate the grace from tonight. Lord, that one that is on this line, that has that ordination. Yes. Ooh. What happened to this lady?
She has been short-sighted for 3 years, one year.
Short-sighted for one year.
But after the prayer, she can see well.
Okay, the eyes have been corrected.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's true. You are here. And it is permanent in the name of Jesus.
Our sister here says, from the time she was born, her vision has been very blurred.
From the time she was born,
her vision has been very, very blurred.
So what happened to you? What happened to you during the prayers?
Okay, so when you told us to put our hands on our eyes,
yeah,
I saw the Spirit of the Lord come upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon you?
Yes. But before I came for the service,
yeah,
my glasses was in my bag. And then something told me to take out my glasses from my bag.
So you wanted to bring your glasses here?
Yes.
And then something told you, drop it at home. So the miracle started from the house. When she obeyed God, she had set herself up for something. And I was not aware that, but while we worship, the presence of God came and sat in the congregation. Then he began to give me insight. You see, everything that is happening here is because of the presence of God that is trapped here. The preacher doesn't do much, you know. Doesn't do much. And we can continue. If we have this hall till 12 midnight, with healing, testimonies till 12, it will not stop. It will not stop. It will become more intense. If you know the presence of God, you will stop struggling in the flesh. We bring into captivity every manifestation of the flesh in the name of Jesus. So what happened when we were praying?
So when we were praying and I put my hand on my eyes, as you said, I saw the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I fell to the ground. So
you fell to the ground. Where were you sitting?
At the back.
At the back of the ground floor.
Yes.
Somewhere at the corner.
Yes.
Just putting your hands on your eyes, then you now
fall
off by yourself. Just in the corner. Nobody's there, but you have something taken. So when you rose up from your experience,
I have astigmatism.
What's the meaning of that?
I see blurry vision.
You see men like trees. That one.
For example, if someone is far, I can see only blur.
You can see his form, but you can't see his face or stuff like that.
I can't see, and I can't see from afar as well to read.
Oh my God, that's, we need another name. So, can you see now?
Yes, please.
Can you see this guy's face?
Yes.
Celebrate. I was just worshiping, you know. I did not plan that she would be on the floor.
So what happened? Her testimony for 25 good years.
25 years.
She couldn't read without her glasses.
She couldn't read without her glasses.
But after the prayer, she took the glasses off and she can read now.
She took the glasses off and. And we give you praise and glory. Thank you for the miracle. In Jesus' name. You know, concerning someone of this age, you can't deceive someone of this age, you know? So if she's not healed, she doesn't have any reason to be healed. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name.
For 3 good years, she couldn't read without her glasses.
You see, the angel has touched me. It means that there are people that God is putting an anointing on. It's investing in them. It's investing. Now, the intensity of the anointing will soon increase. It's investing. It's investing. It's investing. It's investing. Okay. It's investing stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming. Oh my God. Even yet stronger. Yet stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Thank you, Lord. The hand of God will never leave you in Jesus' name. Yes, what happened to this lady?
For 3 good years, she couldn't read without her glasses, and when she entered, she felt heaviness on her eyes.
Heaviness on the eyes.
But after the prayer, the heaviness had been lifted and she can see clearly.
So the heaviness was lifted and she can see. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now that the healing is perfect, the demon of blindness was still. So, it's giving way now. Let her go and depart from her. In the name of Jesus. Yes?
Papa, this.
The presence of God, there is nothing as powerful. You know, when the glory is no longer there, we begin to fake miracles. We don't need them. Let's seek His presence. Let's walk in His presence. Life is on a different plane when His presence is in our midst. It will be impossible to despise us as a people if the presence of God is in our midst. Because we can come to this plenary session, this parliament, and we say, okay, we say no to that is developing in the land. It will wither, it will die. So maybe we'll exercise ourselves in something tomorrow. We'll look for one problem, Ghana's problem. We'll look for something. So the politicians and the political people will help me with the problem of Ghana. Then we'll come as a congregation. If his presence comes, then we will attack that and go. Then next year, we'll come and look for it. Yes, what happened to you?
Early this year, he decided to go for his driving license.
Driving license?
Yes, and a test was conducted, and he realized that he had an issue with his eyes. So he decided to get a glasses, and when he got the glasses, he was using the glasses to drive. But when he entered into the auditorium, when prayer was going on, he could now see properly.
He could now see properly. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, it's permanent. Meanwhile, the situation you had was an attack. It was an attack, okay? So, you are released. Are all these ones still coming for eye issues? All of you? Yes. Okay, let's take. Come, all of you, come to them. All right, so I want to. Okay, yeah. You also have a miracle on your eyes? Oh, your own has not yet manifested. So you just stay. Don't run away. All of you have a miracle on your eyes. Okay, so I want you to receive what is on my head. There's something on my head. There's an investment on my head. But you people want to receive too. Alright. Father, in the name of Jesus, take from what you have given to me, what is on my head now, and distribute from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. He will come. Don't worry. He will come. Distribute to them. Give to them. And let it come stronger. Okay, he's coming. Let it come stronger. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Let it come stronger. Let them be. Take from what you have deposited. Put it on them. Take from what you have deposited. Put it on them. Let it come stronger. Holy Ghost. So we can continue our testimony. Who is next online? One, then we'll take two, three, then the rest of you, I bless you and you go back. Tomorrow is the healing night. God will be healing all kinds of diseases. What we are doing is just enjoying the presence. So when we're in the presence, healing can take place. When we're in the presence, yokes can break, curses destroyed. People can be released into their destiny. If you know what I'm talking about, you will seek the presence of God desperately. Because that's where everything is. Okay? What happened to her?
For 2 good years, she had this reddish substance on her eye. But after...
I woke up one day and my eyes were red.
You woke up one day and your eyes were red.
Yeah,
and you can't explain what happened.
Yes, it just started from pain, and became very red.
Pain to red. Okay.
So my parents got alarmed and they took me to the hospital.
Okay.
And they told me that I can't see from afar, and then I shouldn't be close to light, because when they put the light in my eye, I was really suffering. Pain.
Okay.
Then I've been wearing glasses, and I can't see far.
I think there's a lot of light here. After the prayer, what happened to you?
So you said we should touch her eyes, and I did. And I just felt assurance that I am healed. So I took my phone light and placed it in the and I started reading. I wrote the smallest letters I could, and then I started. certainly.
So,
all right.
Thank you, Father. Let it be permanent in Jesus' name. Yeah? What happened?
Wait.
I'm seeing something like a serpent, like a python. There's a python that has been following someone. There's a python that has been following someone. Father, in the name of Jesus, arrest that python. In the name of Jesus, arrest that python. So, the person that the python has been following, the Lord will touch you in the next 17 seconds. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the balcony, to the back of the hall, I ask, help me find that one that a serpent has been following, a monitoring spirit has been following, a monitoring spirit has been following. Isolate that one. 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 Okay. Bring them. The presence of darkness cannot hide in the presence of God. It will be exposed. In the name of Zion. In the name of Malaya. Harina no boko so mia kayena. Ime me saile komanda. Sela maya na 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 na. Igabo. Now I just need to touch them on the forehead. That's all. They'll be released. That one, is that one part of them? No. They'll be released. Peace! Kaboya siko brendo ko bana. Let them go. And disconnect you from this lady. You serpent of darkness, lose your hold. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. Let them go. Let them go.
He had a challenge with his rib, his right rib.
With his right rib.
Which affected his eyes and his ears.
Affected his hearing and seeing.
Yes, but after the prayer, he can hear and also can see.
In your rib?
For 11 years.
Okay. Oh, come, come. Sickness, that's a spell that was casted on him. You can't hide in the presence. When there's the presence has its own inherent light, it's called Shekinah. It shines, it exposes. So the power of that serpent is hereby broken. Walk free. Walk free. Walk free. Walk free. Walk free. Walk free. Walk free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Walk. Yes, finally.
He had been short-sighted for 6 years. And when he entered, he couldn't even see.
Short-sighted for 6 years, couldn't see the
screen.
The screen.
But after the prayer, you can see.
So, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay, Philip, get my stuff. Now, listen, if you are an usher in this conference, come. All the ushers. Leave her alone. Leave her. No. You won't leave her. Okay, so we have an interesting case here. Can you take her that way? Take her that way. Okay, it's an interesting case. We'll use her for lectures. We'll use this. Are you all ushers? Now, I will tell you what to do when you find such a case. There is one of you ushers. Listen to me carefully. One of you. And the Lord has chosen. Alright, is it possible for me to just touch you? Just a little on your head. Just a little. Just a little tap. You see, my hand is not too... Deposit, the investment will begin now. This is an investment. Spiritual capital, oh my God, will be released into your lives. Yes, grace will be released. It will come stronger. It will keep coming. It's coming stronger. Stronger, stronger. Stronger, stronger. It will come stronger, stronger. You can't resist it. It comes strong. Come strong. Come strong. And this investment. Oh my God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. There are two ladies standing that will be caught up in fire. Two ladies among you. In the next 8 seconds. Yeah, so in the next 8 seconds. Yeah, the fire is on one already. Yes, the second one. Second one. Second. One of you that is suffering from asthma will be delivered in a moment. In the next 12 seconds, you'll be delivered. The one suffering from asthma. In 12 seconds. In 12 seconds. In 12 seconds. In 12 seconds, you'll be delivered. Be delivered. Asthma. Go! Go! In the name of Jesus. Go from her. There's one of you standing on the line. One of you standing on the line. Somebody did witchcraft against you. Somebody did witchcraft against you. And the plug will catch fire in the next 7 seconds. One, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That plug. That plug is broken. It's broken from me. Broken from me. Thank you, Father. All right, you guys can go back, okay? Father, we hunger for your presence. As the deer panted for the water brooks, we hunger for your presence. Cause us to know your presence, to walk in and with your presence. Cause us to realize that the habitat that you created for man is your presence. That's where we operate in the fullness of our capacity. I ask that you show us your presence in the name of Jesus.